Good morning, Redemption. Good to see you all. I would like to just pray over us and we'll jump in. Glory to you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. You are mighty, awesome in your power. Draw us together today, Lord. Help us to hear from you. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to welcome you to our series. It's called The Land Between, Lessons from the Desert. For those of you who are joining us for the first time, this series is looking at Bible passages that deal with being in the desert and help us understand what going through the desert with God is supposed to look like. So far, we have learned that God is our provider. He's always present. That being in the desert is a time of preparation. We've heard from fellow sojourners and again, what it's like to be in the desert. You might ask, so why are we focused on the desert? We've had some words from some prophetic folks in our church that we're getting messages that our church community is in a season of being in the desert. We've had individuals in our church who are going through some very difficult times, wondering where is God? How long will this last? And it resonated with the church staff that, yeah, this does feel like a desert season. So we wanted to hear from God. What does that mean? What does it look like? What is he trying to teach us? And this series was placed upon our hearts. So the first place that we learn about the desert is in Exodus. And if all of you remember, the children of Israel, God's people, were slaves in Egypt. There was not one generation left that remembered what it was like not to be a slave. And God miraculously takes them out of bondage, but does not take them directly to the promised land. He stops them in the desert. And they spend time in the desert, learning what it means to be his people, what it's like to become dependent on an all-powerful God. It's a time of learning to be a community under the leadership of God and his leaders. It is a time of remembering back and a time of looking forward. Our passage today is in Numbers 9, verses 17 through 23, and I'm going to read it to us. So whenever the cloud lifted from above the tent, right? Above the tent, the Israelites set out. Wherever the cloud settled, the Israelites encamped. At the Lord's command, the Israelites set out. And at his command, they encamped. As long as the Lord stayed over the tabernacle, they remained in the camp. When the cloud remained over the tabernacle a long time, the Israelites obeyed the Lord's order and did not set out. Sometimes the cloud was over the tabernacle only a few days. At the Lord's command, they would encamp. And then at his command, they would set out. Sometimes the cloud stayed only from evening till morning. And when it lifted in the morning, they set out. Whether by day or by night, whenever the cloud lifted, you know what I'm going to say, they set out. Whether the cloud stayed over the tabernacle for 2 days or a month or a year, the Israelites would remain in camp and not set out. But when it lifted, yep, they would set out. At the Lord's command, they encamped, and at the Lord's command, they set out. They obeyed the Lord's order in accordance with his command. This story is very simple. It's like a children's story. Lots of repetition, variation on the same theme. If God moves, they move. If God stops, they stop. Pretty simple. This passage is highlighting the journey of the people following their God, but the people figure very prominently. In another passage in Exodus 13, 21 through 22, it says, "By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people." This passage is showing that God is the one that's very prominent. What the people are doing and how it's going is not so much the thing. God is showing them that they can move in the day or in the night. God is in front of them. They know exactly where he is. And that is the point of that passage. The point of this passage is telling us when God moves, they move. When God stops, they stop. And it doesn't matter if it's for a day or for a month or for a year. You heard me? A year, okay? If God moves, they move. If God stops, they stop. All right. In Numbers 9, 17 through 23, it's clear the people are responding to God's actions. There are long stops, short pauses. God is leading, but this passage is highlighting that the people will follow. All right? We're all on the same page. No tricks here. As a community, they were learning to expect God to be present every day and remembering to follow him every day. We as a community here are believing we are in a time of preparation. Oh yes, preparation. God wants to teach us as a collective how to follow him. He is training us what it means for us as Redemption Church to be his people. We, leaders and congregants, are being taken on a journey to get us ready to inherit what God has next for us. We have to be prepared before we can move into the new wine and new wineskins phase. What are we supposed to glean from this passage? You know, when God moves, we move. When God stops, we stop. So there's a couple of lessons that I was able to pull out from among this passage that is very repetitious. Variation on that theme. What is God doing? Lesson one, we will have periods of journeying, periods of resting, and periods of waiting. Journeying means that we will travel and the road may be difficult or it may be smooth. Journeying can look like dreaming together about new buildings or new property, understanding a new mission, new vision. Journeying can be a new curriculum, new ministries, dreaming together, moving in a new direction. That's journeying. All of these things that I mentioned are destinations, but getting to that destination, we have to learn to let go of old ways of doing, learn new things together that we can accomplish the desired goal, the destination. So that's one thing, or the two things, learning new ways, new things, and then doing it together as a community. The fruit of the Spirit is a key indicator that the Holy Spirit is alive and well in the midst of our community, God with us. The fruit of the Spirit, as listed in Galatians chapter 5, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These things in the journey help us to be the community that God is calling us to be. So these are things that we need to be looking for, practicing, remembering that God is with us. Testimony matters during this time. Sharing with others how you are being loved, who had patience with you. Goodness is a righteous or just act or attitude. Have you benefited from someone's goodness? Gentleness is when someone has built you up, encouraged you, or not condemned you. Someone who has listened to you and not judged you. Who said the hard thing in a soft way. Kindness is being generous and considerate. This is how God is with us. That's why it's the fruit of the Spirit. If we have God's Spirit within us, these things should be overflowing. And we want to make sure that we're leaning into that in the journey, in the desert, God with us. I want to take some time right now to ask a few of you to raise your hand to share how you have received this type of love in this community. How have you been cared for, encouraged, experienced goodness? And you don't have to go into all the particulars. We don't have a long time. But if you just wave your hand, I will grab a few of you and you will unmute and just say, in this community, I have experienced, and you just share one of those things. I'll repeat one more time just so you can remember that goodness is righteousness or a just act or attitude. Gentleness is being built up, encouraged, not condemned, not judged. Being loved is however you understand that you were loved. Patient, most of us get that one. Who has been patient with you? And kindness, generous or considerate, okay? If you have experienced being encouraged, being loved, listened to, the reason I want you to share that is that testimony is so important. Because for the desert time, there's a lot of people who don't feel that. And so it's a reminder that things are happening. I'm going to say Carol Lee, Rosie, and Elizabeth Dawn. So Carol Lee, first, please unmute.
I had to move in the middle of COVID. I got my notice when I was very, very sick. And three people jumped in and really helped me. Deborah Martin brought me things when I came to this place. Andrea came and helped me on moving day and was with me with my very difficult landlord and also helped me when I got moved in. And then another friend, Corey, came alongside and helped with things that needed to be done and her husband. And I felt loved, I felt cared for. And it was a hard time and people risked their health to come and help me.
Amen, thank you. All right, Rosie, could you please unmute?
My strength is with helping people, but I found myself without direction, without energy and motivation for life. And this is a very dry place to be for quite a long time. And so I was trying to remain in touch with the people that I seem to understand, and I seem to hear clearly God through them. So I stick with the life group at church, and yes, we were supposed to go out and share the gospel, the scary thing for everyone, I think. And my part was sharing with elderly people that do not have any motivation, do not have any, they all turn their noses on Jesus and God, what are you talking about? Just discouraging stories. And the things progressed, I stuck with the group, even though I didn't understand much and I wasn't very helpful, so I wasn't moving in my strength. So the online time came in, and I stuck with it. And I noticed that in my loss of direction and not knowing where is up and down, I start hearing clearly the words spoken to the people that were part of the Alpha. And it was such a strong way. It like built my backbone again. I knew where is up and down. And although the word was spoken to for new believers or pre-believers or people that are hostile to the gospel, it built me so much, and I felt like alive again. Mm-hmm. I found my the red thread to go through the day, and I was so encouraged. Bless you.
Thank you, Rosie. All right, Elizabeth, could you unmute, please?
Yeah, so many praise reports. It's amazing. It was difficult to come to Edmonton during this COVID time to take care of my parents and so on. But I found that I was being like dragged down by my own attitude, and I turned things around and started to like really count my blessings and be grateful. And the doors were just open so many times. There's so many praise reports. And, you know, just reconnecting or connecting with people here in Edmonton. And it's just been amazing. I think that a lot of times we need to, you know, really pause and count our gratitude or be grateful. And anyway.
No, thank you.
Yeah, it's been good. I've been able to connect with Christian people here in Edmonton, and as well share the gospel with non-believers.
Amen.
Yeah.
All right.
Amen.
That was a stab at trying to have people share how they have been recipients of the fruit of the Spirit. Particularly, I was hoping for people to share from this community. And like I said, if you didn't want to go into depth, that was okay. But now we're going to switch it. And I want you to take some time to think about how can you show these things? How can you give these things? And we're going to go into breakout rooms. There are going to be about three of you in each one. And I want you to share with someone, just as you're praying, an idea. How could I encourage someone, especially in this COVID time, in this season when we're not supposed to be gathering together? What can we do to help people to know that God is still with us, right? If you call yourself a Christian, that means you believe God is doing something in there. There's a reason that you want to hold on to that name, and he's shown you. And now that we're in the desert, this is the time in the journey together, where we're heading, whatever we're doing. This is the time that those things, it was like, what else you got to do? Pay attention. How do I know God is present? Because he's alive and active. He's doing something. The Holy Spirit in us, these fruit manifest. But you need to practice, you need to let it out, you need to, you know, let it flow. So pray, take some moments. How do I love, encourage, right? show kindness in this season. Not what should somebody do, just what could I do? What do I think? So if you can get a pencil and paper, I think Carol Lee may have gone to do something, but get a pencil and paper if you need to write out some thoughts. But we're going to go into breakout rooms. If you're watching this YouTube live, same thing. Get a pencil and paper. Write down, how could I encourage somebody? How could I love somebody in our community, right? To say that God is here. God is here. It doesn't mean you have to have money. But how can I do that? How can you do that? So if you're on YouTube Live, you have a chat, a live chat that you can put your thoughts in, let people know. All right. That was an adventure. Thank you for trying that. I know that not everyone knows the fruit of the spirit. So probably as soon as you disappear, you're like, what are we supposed to be talking about? The main point of journeying together is how do we become a community in the process? And how do we know that God is present, right? And as individuals, we know that God is with us, that he's been doing something in there. He's been teaching us all along the way, his ways. And in the journey through the desert, we all need love. We all need patience. We all need gentleness. We all need kindness. We all need goodness. Like I said, for me, someone did a righteous act, an attitude towards me when I had encountered microaggression, and I felt so loved by this person in our church. So in the desert season, when things are dry, we can come together, our God among us, working in us and through us, all right, in the journey. So journeying together, the two things about journeying: God is with us, and that the fruit of the spirit, that's how we recognize it, and that we are becoming a community together. So then in the rest time, there's periods of rest. Again, of course, the fruit of the spirit, resting is great. In our church community, rest, staycation comes to mind. It's a time to play together, a time to enjoy nature together, a time to worship together. It was so wonderful in this COVID season. We saw beavers. Of course, I went on a nature walk with some folks. They were pointing out all the different things. And it's a time to glory in our Creator, right? We even had time of food, but it wasn't shared, you know, so that was a reminder that we're still in a time that we have a lot of precautions. But it's just good to be in person to see folks, right? So resting together, part of the journey. In the COVID season, or I guess even before, we used to do barbecues. And that was very restful for many of us because we didn't have to cook, right? But you could get together with people and chat. Other ways of resting together that our church did was, what else? Oh, we did family fun nights, and those were nice because you would meet people that you didn't know, inviting people who didn't know the Lord, but they would come, eat, have fun. You get to know the younger crew, part of our community. And it was a time to also dream together about what could be next, right? How could we be a part of this? So not just one life group carrying this, but yeah, how else could we do a family fun night? Other adventures together. A dream of mine is to see us do a retreat, right? Where we go away for an extended amount of time in God's word, an extended amount of time of worship, an extended amount of time of listening on behalf of our community. What is God saying to us all, right? An extended time of play. Imagine a weekend resting together. I think it'd be fabulous. But in this COVID season, what does it look like? The staycation, it was wonderful. We did the nature hunt together, or what was it? A scavenger hunt or screen something or other. You guys get the idea. We had ways of seeking out stuff with clues and whatnot. Lots of fun. I would say that some of the other ways we've done it is a worship night where it's full of praise, song, dance, and focus on God, but still hearing the voices. This has changed. COVID has changed all of that. But how do we still rest together? You know, there's the 10 people bubble. If you do a 10 person bubble, good, but protect your bubble. Don't go to bars. Don't do indoor parties, right? Take care of your bubble. Do a book club. Yeah, it might have to be virtual. It's okay, but share some interests. Do something fun together, even a game night, virtual game night. Those are fun. It's not the same, but you're in the desert. And in the desert, you have to respect the desert, right? COVID is a desert, people. But it doesn't mean that God is not present. How do we rest together? Don't just let this wash past. Think on these things. It is vital for the community survival. We have to rest. God teaches us about Sabbath, yeah? Resting is part of the journey. Okay, so then waiting. Yes, I said it. Waiting is also part of the journey. Most of us do not like to wait. We have microwaves, you have fast internet. Waiting is not what we want to do. And yet, it's in the waiting that we are becoming the most Christ-like. Sometimes we have long periods where we stay in the same place where nothing seems to be happening. It's kind of like growing taro. Taro is a crop that they grow in Hawaii. It's a tuber, so not a seed. And it's the root that you harvest. But when you grow taro, the first 3 months, it looks like nothing is happening. You just have a patch of land. And you have to water it every day. And every day, that blank ground stares back at you, and there's nothing. Not even a glimmer, not a hint, not a sprout. 3 months, you pour water onto this blank dirt, and you are trusting, believing that something is going to happen. And then sometime after those 3 months, lush greenness springs forth, and you have taro. But if you are not enjoying the waiting, or if you're not remembering to do your watering, if you think nothing is happening, so I quit, you will not get taro. With us waiting for the property deal to come through, right? What is God doing in that? To have the property up the hill, we need to be people who know how to love to the point where our new neighbors want to see what's happening in that building. In a time of COVID, we could have many groups of 50 in that space. But do we know how to care for each other? Because if we don't know how to care for each other, how are we going to care for those many groups of 50 that we want to see come in? We have to go out and invite them and give them a reason to want to be around, right? So we wait to become like Jesus. But the waiting isn't doing nothing. The waiting is watering the ground, right? For that taro. Maybe looks like nothing. Start moving, leaning into the things that God has already been teaching you. Share it with your community. And like I said, it's not about preaching. It is about encouraging, loving, acts of kindness, goodness, right? All the things that we know he's taught us, and not to be fearful, not to be afraid, not to keep it all to ourselves, not to be people who only want to be receivers, but who want to also pour out. Don't worry, If you're afraid that you're going to be sucked dry, that's why God is near. God is near. Let him be the impetus, the reason for going out and doing, not because people are needy, right? It's like, hey, God, I've been listening to you. I've been learning from you. Bring it on. Show me. I want to see, right? The places where I have matured, have grown. All right. So vision casting is another place where waiting is huge. It may seem like nothing is happening, but God is planting the seeds in us that must sprout, take root, and grow. As we journey and rest together, we also must wait together for our entire community to catch the mission and vision. This fruit is produced as we follow God and hang out with each other. When God says move, we move. When God says stop, we stop. The second lesson is about timing is everything, and God determines the time. Don't get in front of God. Don't go ahead of God. Sometimes we get impatient. The instructions seem simple enough. Move when God says move. Stop when God says stop. But in Numbers 14, 40 through 45, the people do not follow the Lord's command. They do what they think is best. Just before this passage, the people have been told to go into the promised land. They send 12 spies. 10 come back and say, oh, this is not going to work. Not going to work. Bad idea. Giants in the land. We look like grasshoppers. And the giants think so, too. We are doomed if we go there. We might as well go back to Egypt. Why have we listened to Moses? What is this God? What is going on? We are not doing this. Then that doesn't go well with God. Some things are said. Basically, you're not going to the promised land now. And the 10 that said it was a bad idea, yeah, got the whole community riled up so that all of the people got told they couldn't go into the land. But then God said, well, Joshua and Caleb, you guys can go into the land, your generation, but not yet. As a community, they had to keep following God. They were not ready. They were not ready to go into the promised land. So more time in the desert. Hint, let's prepare. Let's get ready. God will tell us when we're ready, but we want to lean into the process. Yeah. So the passage that comes just after they get told you don't get to go into the promised land is what I want us to look at. And that is Numbers 14, 40 to 45. So remember, they've just been told you can't go. It's not going to work. Don't even think about it. And so the men Moses had sent to explore the land, who returned and made the whole community grumble against him by spreading a bad report about it. These men who were responsible for spreading the bad report about the land were struck down of a plague. All right, so they're gone. Then when Moses reported all of this to the Israelites, you're not going to the promised land. The people gave the bad report are gone. Everybody mourned bitterly. Early the next morning, they set out for the highest point in the hill country, saying, now we are ready to go up to the land the Lord promised. Surely we have sinned. They have good intentions, but what's the problem? In the desert, what are we supposed to do? Move when God says move, stop when God says stop. Moses said, why are you disobeying the Lord's command? This will not succeed. Do not go up because the Lord is not with you. You will be defeated by your enemies, for the Amalekites and the Canaanites will face you there. Because you have turned away from the Lord, he will not be with you, and you will fall by the sword. Nevertheless, in their presumption, they went up toward the highest point in the hill country, though neither Moses nor the Ark of the Lord's covenant, meaning God, right? God did not go. Then the Amalekites and the Canaanites who lived in that hill country came down and attacked them and beat them down all the way to Hormah. I don't know where Hormah is, but the point is, what were they doing? Several times it says, when God says move, they move. When God says stop, they stop. They know the signs, they know the rules. But presumption, guilt, shame, and maybe even disappointment, yeah? Because they wanted to go to the promised land, they've been taken away now. What are we supposed to learn from this? Be attentive followers. Don't forget the lessons that God is trying to teach us. This church has had many congregations, and this will not be the last. Let's be attentive to God and enjoy our time with him and each other as we journey through the desert. We cannot rush through the desert. We cannot sidestep the desert. We cannot bypass the desert. The desert is part of the journey to the destination that we are trying to get to, that God has promised that he wants for us. We've heard so many prophecies about new wine, new wineskins, about the harvest that God is going to bring to this church in new life, right? But we have to go through the desert. That's not a bad thing. It's a time of preparation, of becoming the people that he's called us to be. But we got to remember, when God says move, we move. When God says stop, we stop. If we're in a resting time, play together. Spend time together. If you don't know that many people in this church, get to know them. And I want to say, don't be cliquish. Love widely. If you feel like you've been left out in this church, that no one has loved on you, love somebody. You reach out. You claim the name of Christ. If you're doing that, I know he's working in you. Let him out. Let the Holy Spirit flow. Do something beautiful. In this season of journeying together, right? There's going to be periods of rest, periods of waiting, and then in the process of being shaped by God. The point is to come out more in love with him and more understanding what it means to be his people, to be a community, to be a collective. This is not an individual sort of thing. Individual responses, yes, but the point is to be a community that shines light in darkness, a community that when people see us, they think, man, what's going on over there? I want to be a part of that. We testify to the goodness and awesomeness, the amazingness of our God when we allow him to shape us. The journey includes travel, resting, and waiting. Do not get in front of God or go ahead of him. These are lessons from the desert. Thank you.